The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
All right, all right. Welcome, everybody, to the, I believe this is the 13th episode now, the SEU Show. I'm your host, SEU. And, you know, this podcast has started off very slow. We skipped a lot of weeks due to, you know, it was just no reason for doing it, but we did. I'm seeing numbers picking up now, and I'm liking what I'm seeing, so we're going to keep it going. Starting, I believe, August 1st is the next Tuesday I'll be on after this show. Nothing but NFL for a whole month as we get ready for the season. I'm a football guy. I love football. I love the NFL. Bring it on. I can't wait. We got guests lined up. Topics are on fire. It's going to be great. But for now, we stick to basketball a little bit. And I know everyone's going to be thinking the same thing, that I'm overreacting or I'm in the hype, but I like what I see from Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball has done great things. Yeah, it's the summer league. Okay, fine. But you know what? You think of it this way. Lonzo Ball is doing well during the preseason. And everybody's saying that it's just the preseason, right? But you know what? This reminds me of somebody. Because somebody else did the same thing last year. They did well in the preseason. Everyone said, it's just the preseason. Wait till he plays the big dogs. He's going to crumble. Yeah, he didn't crumble. Well, yeah, I mean, if you're listening and you're hearing my clues and all that, you already know who I'm talking about. Dak Prescott. Yes, Lonzo Ball reminds me of Dak Prescott. Yeah, it's different sports, this, that, and the other. The point here is Lonzo Ball doing well in the preseason. Everyone's saying it's overhype, that he's going to crumble against the big dogs like Golden State and LeBron and the Rockets, whatever super team. We'll get to super teams after this right here. But Lonzo Ball's doing great things. He didn't have to play the whole summer league to win summer league MVP. How great, you have to be that good to win MVP and not play every game. I guess that's just something I'd add, smaller league, whatever. That is awesome. I'm loving it. I was always a fan of Lonzo Ball. What I was not a fan of was LaVar Ball. And a lot of people aren't a fan of LaVar Ball to this day. I mean, you can understand why, though. LaVar Ball is a big mouth. He says things that are just ridiculous. They're just ridiculous. The things LaVar Ball says is ridiculous. Lonzo has taken the attention away from his father now. And he's done very well in the summer league. He's even won MVP. He didn't have to play in the final, which they beat the Portland Trailblazers to win the summer league title. I could be wrong in that, but I'm pretty sure it's the Trailblazers. But yeah, this might be just hype. But right now, sitting here right now, talking about Lonzo Ball, this is not just hype. This is real. Lonzo Ball is impressive. He reminds me of Dak Prescott because Dak Prescott did very well in the preseason after Romo got injured and Dak stepped in. And everyone said, oh, it's the preseason. I mean, it didn't mean nothing then. It means nothing for Lonzo Ball now. But we will see come October 17th when the Lakers get their regular season started and the real ball actually matters. If the Lakers do play, I do know the season starts on October 17th. I'm not sure if the Lakers will play October 17th. You get the point, though. They're going to do good this year. They're going to do what the Heat did last year. They're going to start off real slow, and everyone's going to hate on Lonzo Ball. Oh, what happened to this, that, and the other? Calm down. It's one guy leading a team. It's not LeBron James either. Lonzo Ball is not LeBron James. He probably won't be LeBron James ever. But he will be with LeBron James. That's for another show. For now, we talk about Lonzo Ball. He's going to do well. The team might not do well. That's fine. It's not about the team. Because we know the Lakers aren't going to do that well this year. Because it's the stacked teams in the Western Conference. Again, we'll get to that in a second. But we do know right now, I do feel Lonzo Ball, he's going to ball. In the 2017-18 season, he's not going to average a triple-double. He could average a double-double. He could be the next Kevin Love. He could be the next great superstar. Whatever you want to name him. But I don't want to hear all this hype stuff. I don't want to hear it. I understand. Everyone think, oh, it is just hype, though. Yeah, okay. You can believe it's hype all you want. I am not believing that. Because you said this. Everyone said the same thing about Dak Prescott last year. And look what happened. Rookie of the offensive rookie of the year, mind you. He didn't win rookie of the year. He should have. He didn't. Whatever. Different story for a different time here. So to all of those saying but Lavonzo Ball is going to crumble, Lavonzo Ball is not going to crumble. Lavonzo Ball is going to score 25 points. And you can write this down, whoever's listening. Lavonzo Ball will score 25 points in his first meeting against the Warriors. He will not win because he can't beat the super team, no matter where the game is played. He will score 25 points against the Warriors, their first meeting, the 2017-18 regular season. Book it. You think it's crazy? Book it. It's happening. Done. Exclamation point. Put a stamp on it. Whatever you want to call it. And like I said, I think I sidetracked a little bit before. Lonzo Ball is going to lead the Lakers where the Heat were last year. The Heat started at 11-30. Ah, yeah. Everyone was like, oh, this Heat team, oh my God, they can't win without D-Wade. They had the best record in the NBA after the All-Star break. They were half a game out of the playoffs. Half a game. And they didn't have the big guy. They didn't have a big superstar. They had Deion Waiters, had a couple of games. Goran Dragic was in a big-time guy. Hassan Whiteside is quiet. They didn't have any superstars. The Lakers have a superstar. They're going to start slow. They're going to be real hot. Half a game out of the eighth seed by the time April 2018 comes around. It'll be thanks to Lonzo. Unfortunately, and now it's time to segue into this topic, the super teams are going to get to him. And here's where I segue. NBA, it looks like they're aiming for every team to have a super team. It's crazy how all these teams are building super teams. The Lakers are doing it next year. They're going to add PG-13. They're going to have LeBron James, and they'll have Lonzo Ball, who's going to ball. It's going to be the same Lakers team. But for now, we stick to 2017-18. I can name, let's see, we got the Warriors. They have been a super team since 2015. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. I questionable Andre Iguodala. I question that. I still question to this day that he won the NBA Finals MVP in 2015. Different story for a different time. And then they had Kevin Durant. I no longer hate Kevin Durant because I see people in the NFL and in the NBA doing this all the time. They go to the better teams because they want the rings. So I guess you can't really hate on Kevin Durant because now everyone's following him. So obviously he did a good thing. Good for the NBA? Yeah, not so much because now the NBA is going to be boring. The same five teams are going to compete. But I know everybody's doing it. You can't really hang on Kevin Durant anymore. Again, sidetracking here. Rockets, doing the same thing. James Harden, Chris Paul. And they're looking at Carmelo now. I'm not saying Carmelo Anthony's a star. He's not. He didn't do that well in Denver, let alone New York. He did okay. But you put him with James Harden, you put him with Chris Paul, they're going to, you know, just going to smack some sense into him, whatever they're going to do, and he's going to be a great player again. A really great player. And it's with a team like Houston, watch out. Oklahoma City, another one right there. Russell Westbrook led the league. He averaged a triple-double. That's what I meant to say. He averaged a triple-double last year. Now he has Paul George, who is one of the best players in the NBA. Now Paul George is there. He can take the load off of what Russell Westbrook. Westbrook can continue what he's doing, and Paul George will add to that. But he's just going to add to it. He's going to add the fire to the OKC, the Oklahoma City Thunder that we saw last year. But as the main topic here is, super teams are becoming a thing in the NBA. And this all started last year. It's going to continue for a couple of years. Last year, the Knicks, the Bulls, the T-Wolves, and the Celtics were the four teams that I know of that tried to have a super team, try to build a super team. Bulls signed D-Wade, signed Rajon Rondo, had Jimmy Butler. That looks like a super team, right? No, they weren't. Knicks D-Rose, if he was healthy. Joakim Noah. Kristaps Porzingis. And Carmelo Anthony. Obviously a super team, right? Yeah, they finished with this, I believe, the second worst record in the league behind their brothers in the Nets. And the Nets don't have money. The Nets have not much there either. Timberwolves. They had such a great team. They had Karl Anthony Towns and a few other guys. I was just like, oh my God, wow. I bought the Timberwolves last year, and they've won 33 games. If I'm not mistaken, it was 33. But maybe it was 31. We'll have to fact check that and get back to it. Yeah, they lost 51 games. I know that much. So they had to win 30. They had to have won 31 games with that team. Wah wah. Celtics. Isaiah Thomas. Well known name, right? Gordon Hayward. Not Gordon Hayward. Al Horford, who they added. And you're thinking, up. And the only reason the Celtics won the one seed is because LeBron got burned out. LeBron was the only one running, as he was running the Cavs, and they were losing, and the Celtics were winning, and the Celtics took advantage of that. And the Celtics went on to almost get swept by the Bulls, the eighth seed, lost the first two games at home. So super teams last year didn't work too well. I have a feeling this year it's going to work even better, though. Because Russell Westbrook is not a washed-up guy like Melo is, or D. Rose, or hell, even Rajon Rondo. That Westbrook is still high tier in the NBA. Paul George, still high tier. So I'm not worried about the Thunder crashing. Chris Paul, he was the Clippers. Because Blake Goldberg dunked the ball, and DeAndre Jordan almost left. Not worried about the Rockets. Golden State, you can't worry about them. We're going to have Warriors Cavs 4. I said this last week. Warriors Cavs 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. Warriors Cavs 4. It's happening. I mean, we can't hide from it anymore at this point. It is going to happen. It's a done deal. And that's the end of that. Speaking of the Bulls, they're trying it again this year. They're trying to build another super team. It's just not going to work. Again. Not going to work. Last year, they signed D. Wade. And here's the thing with D. Wade. And a lot of people aren't going to like this, especially my Miami guys down on Twitter. D. Wade can't win a title by himself. He proved that. He needed Shaq to win in 2006. He needed LeBron and Chris Bosh to win in 2012-2013. Couldn't win by himself. Probably still can't. Plus, Zach Levine. The best thing a guy's done in his career is win a dunk contest. Woo! Congratulations, Zach Levine. You won a dunk contest. You're not winning a title for the Bulls. Shut it down. And then here's the most overrated super team of 2017-2018. The Pelicans. First of all, bad name. Because who wants to go up against a team called the Pelicans? Oh, so scary, the Pelicans, right? No, it's just crazy. I never liked Anthony Davis, so I always thought he was overrated. Then you had Boogie Cousins, who has more of a temper than just talent. And then they just had Rondo, who, again, nothing. He was the fourth best guy in the Celtics 2008 title team. Since then, nothing. Nothing but tempers and tantrums. That's all we're going to get from New Orleans this year. Especially with Anthony Davis. Him and Rondo have not have chemistry yet, but when they get on the court together, just watch. It's going to be a dumpster fire. And yeah, Cousins in there. Cousins and Rondo are going to be at each other's throats every game. It's going to be ugly. And nobody will want to watch New Orleans Pelicans basketball next year. Sorry. Whew. Well, that was fun. Good to have you in. Good. Thanks for listening. Unless you're listening on W2Net.com, iTunes, Spritcher, Spritcher? I believe I said that right. Stitcher. Spreaker, iTunes, I said it already, Google Play, wherever producer Sean Connor posts this podcast. Oh, thank you for listening. It's our final one of July because next week I'll be on vacation for my 23rd birthday, so I will not be doing a show. And when we come back, August 1st, we're blowing up with NFL stuff. All NFL stuff. All of it. Whole bunch of it. going to be awesome. We have guests lined up already. We got topics ready. We're ready to blow. We're ready to go here in the SCU show for the NFL season. The best sport out there today. Well, a lot of people will question that and debate that. But that's another story, as I said a few times earlier today already. Another story for another time. Warren Shaw, host of the NBA Baseline on 16 Wins a Ring, will join the show in a couple minutes. Going to go to commercial. I'm going to ask him, how does he think of Lonzo Ball? I don't know how much he knows about football, so I can't ask him about the Dak Prescott comparison. I'll ask him about what he thinks about super teams and which super teams he thinks are going to fly and which ones are going to drown. It's going to be interesting to see how he sees it. Now, I want everybody's take on this. Super teams, what do you think about them? On Twitter, at WritingFanatic2. Or you can tweet at W2M Network. Whichever you feel. Either way, I will get it. I will get all your tweets. So coming up next, Warren Shaw, host of the NBA Baseline on 16 Wins a Ring, joins us. This is the SCU show.
Hello to all you Arena League football fans out there. I want to personally welcome you to join us, AFL Fan Zone, every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a weekly recap of all things AFL. You got stuff to do on the weekends, which means you probably don't have time to sit down and watch every single game every week. That's where AFL Fan Zone comes in. Not only do we break down the week, but we provide you with everything you need to stay up to date with the AFL, including players of the week, power rankings, and the weekly standings. Best part is, the recap is fully interactive between the viewers and the host. Just search AFL Fan Zone on YouTube and you can find all of our archived videos, including game previews, recaps, and weekly updates. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at our website at www.aflfanzone.com. AFL Fan Zone, your internet home for the best AFL fans.
Hi, I'm Donovan James, and welcome to the Don James High School Football Report, everybody, where we discuss and debate the hottest prep and college football recruiting topics in the country every week, only here on NGSC Sports, 9:30 Eastern. For more, follow me on Twitter at Don James Sports.
It's game time, boys, and we know football. Football the Max is the podcast for you if you want in-depth analysis over the NFL and college football. We preview all the action coming your way over the weekend. And we break down all the big action after it's happened. Plus, we tackle all the big news topics and discuss everything when it comes to the gridiron. So come check out Football to the Max every Tuesday morning and Friday morning on the W2M Network.
Are you an arena football fan looking for the latest news involving your team? Inside the Arena has you covered. Check us out for the latest news around both the Arena Football League and the Chinese Arena Football League. Read all of our stellar articles at InsideTheArena.org. Also, follow us on Twitter at Inside_Arena and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/InsideTheArena.
Welcome back to the SCU show. I'm your host, SCU. Now joining us, the host or co-host of NBA Baseline on 16 Wins a Ring and 16WingsARing.com, Mr. Warren Shaw. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for having me on again, man. It's great to be back talking a little NBA.
Yes, Warren Shaw has been on the show before. We had to have him back on again because last time he came on, he just killed it. I had to have him back on again. We have to talk about Lonzo Ball. He's the biggest story of the NBA right now. He won the NBA, the Summer League MVP. He didn't have to play. He didn't have to play in the final. I said, everyone thinks that this is just hype. It's just the preseason, whatever it may be. What are your thoughts on Lonzo Ball right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's getting a little bit ahead of themselves, and there's a lot of groupthink that happens with basketball, especially the Summer League, and with the way Vegas was, I had a chance to go out there, and all the Laker fans coming out there, they seem to kind of influence, you know, things a little bit. Lonzo Ball is going to be a very good basketball player, and, you know, I think he's going to have a nice season out there in L.A., but I think people just need to slow down a little bit. It is summer league, and I'm not trying to take away his MVP or anything like that. He played extremely good basketball out there, but, you know, I'm just not on this hype train. Oh, he's going to be Rookie of the Year. Oh, he's the Lakers savior and all of those things. Let the kid grow. Let the kid grow into his game a little bit here. You know, he's going to be playing behind some veterans even on that roster, especially with some of the guys they added over the offseason. So his Lakers team should be much improved, and Lonzo Ball is going to be a cog in the wheel that propels him forward. But he's not going to be the star player on that team this upcoming season.
Okay, so you say that he's not going to be the star on the team. You know, he will be good. We can agree on that.
He'll be really good.
Who do you think will be the star on the team this year? I mean, there's no D'Angelo Russell, no more Nick Young. Who takes over that top spot for the Lakers this year?
Yeah, I don't know that there is one. I think there's some.
Oh, wow.
I think it's a committee of stars for the Lakers, if you will. With KCP there, he's going to be trying to get his 17, 18 points a game. Brandon Ingram obviously is going to be trying to take another step forward now, I guess entering his next season. Brook Lopez is not. He's not dead. He's more than a serviceable center. He averaged 20 a game in Brooklyn. I know those are, on a bad team, but he's a guy who can still get you points, extending his range to the 3-point line now, where he shoots like 4 or 5 threes a game and shooting over 35% from that range. So you'll see a committee of guys kind of doing it for the Lakers on a regular season. I don't know that they have a 1A type player on that roster currently. Obviously, I didn't even talk about Julius Randle. You know, he's going into a contract year as well too. So he's going to be out there trying to, get going for the gusto too for the Lakers. So for me, this is a team that's definitely going to be by committee for the entire season, with everybody kind of playing their part, and they'll all have a chance to shine at different points.
That is true. Warren Shaw, co-host of the NBA Baseline on 60 Wins a Ring and 60WinsARing.com, joining us. Let's talk next year, next offseason. We're in July 1st, 2018. There are a lot of free agents that are LeBron James. You have Joel Embiid will be a free agent.
Yeah.
PG-13 will be a free agent after his one year with the Thunder. I have a feeling, I have a strong feeling, LeBron's going to LA. I feel like that's a done deal after this year. And I have a feeling if PG-13 will also join the Lakers. Do you know about any of the next year's free agents and who you think could be a good fit for Los Angeles?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard all the conversation, and followed it, I'm sure, just as close as you have in terms of, what is brewing out there, for the Lakers. And ironically, I don't know that the Clippers are going to be that far off. I think there's some people who may even consider going that route too if they can't get to the Lakers, whether that be because of cap space or whatever. So that's just something to think about too. I think LA is the destination, whether that's the Clippers or the Lakers or the Clippers. The Lakers still have the edge over that, even though they're not nearly as good as the Clippers have been in the last couple of seasons. And LeBron going out there seems to be something that has some weight right now. And it's just, I'm one of those guys that I don't want to go into the speculation because I if you go from however many years ago it was, he was almost assuredly going to New York Knicks, right? I remember the first time he left Cleveland, and I say that because I think he's going to leave again. The first time he left Cleveland,
yes,
Celtics fans heckling the hell out of him, screaming New York Knicks, went as the Celtics were upsetting the Cleveland Cavaliers in that series. And then he shocked everybody and went to Miami. So I just, again, I know that narrative is out there, but I don't know for sure that it's going to be L.A. But I do think the PG-13 thing is a real, real thing. I know he came on the Woj podcast recently and had a conversation. It's like, oh, it's a little bit overblown, and why would I leave if Russ and I build a good thing here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think he's just trying to clean up some of the PR mess up that he's left in his wake of leaving Indiana. I think Paul George is probably the most realistic person that's going to be heading to the Lakers next year. LeBron, again, that's a possibility. But once PG goes there, Magic and Rob Pelinka, they'll be able to, be able to spend their money. And I think they think they'll have enough for two max guys, according to the cap. I think they have to clear maybe one or two guys off that roster currently. But Paul George can definitely fill one of those spots, and maybe LeBron James or maybe somebody else. Hey, Russell Westbrook, who knows?
Yeah, maybe. About the Paul George thing, I've read about that, how he said it's stupid, it's overblown. And he's saying he could stay with OKC next offseason. But, you don't know what's going to happen in a year's time. So I do believe PG-13 is a done deal. LeBron's a done deal. It's going to be a super team in L.A. next year, a very big super team. I said 2 weeks ago that this super team, if it happens, could beat the Warriors. Now we switch over to the talk of super teams. Last year, the Knicks, T-Wolves, Bulls, all tried to build a super team and failed. And this year, it's the Rockets, the Pelicans, and there's a third team. I forget the third. The Thunder, of course. The Thunder trying to build the super team. What are your thoughts on super teams? Do you think it's good or bad for the NBA?
Well, when they're at the level that Golden State is, I think it's bad. And listen, I'm not going to knock Durant for his decision, and you know he has a right to do that as a free agent and all of those things. But yeah, it does hurt the quality of the league. Listen, I'm a diehard fan. I love the NBA. And it hurts me to hear people that are casual fans say, listen, I have no interest in it. It's already over. You know, like they'd rather spend their time playing 2K as opposed to watching the real game instead of seeing what's really happening on the floor. And that's frustrating. So Daryl Morey said it best. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard the quote, and it's been quoted a million times over, and I'll use it again. It's an arms race right at this point, trying to catch up to Golden State. What I do find to be very ironic is that all these teams went west in order to do so. So you're growing right into the heart of the Lions then here, trying to go take them out, where you could have potentially had maybe, quote-unquote, an easier pass if you stayed east and tried to build teams out there. Nevertheless, the West general managers seem to be more aggressive. Maybe they were a little bit more flexible with their salary cap, and they were better at budgeting their money, being able to get these guys over there to come to the Western Conference. I think Minnesota is a much-improved team. I don't know that they're a super team, but they're much-improved. You know, New Orleans, I think this is their last gasp here. Dell Demps is a general manager in that situation. He needs to make a playoff push here to get this team back on the right track. Otherwise, you start going to hear those Anthony Davis, you know, should they trade him stuff coming back to life. Cousins is in his rookie year as well, too. So I see what New Orleans is trying to do. I understand it. You know, do they get the right pieces in order to do so? Probably not. But super teams are not really ideal for the NBA in any way, shape, or form.
And it's funny you just mentioned that the Pelicans, Anthony Davis trading him. I saw a report right before I came on the show. Should the Pelicans, and they will, be very bad by the end of the year, you know, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, they could look to trade him to the Celtics. I don't remember which report I saw, but I did see that the Anthony Davis to the Celtics thing is real. It could happen. So we'll see what happens with that. Warren Shaw, co-host of the Baseline on 16 Wins a Ring, 16winsring.com, joining us on the SCU show. I've been saying this 2-3 weeks now. We are in for Warriors, Cavs 4, but let's stick with the super teams, though, because in the East, it's Cavs. They're going to the finals. It's a done deal. Kaput, do you think there could be one of these quote-unquote super teams like the Rockets, the Thunder? Maybe you even say you like the Timberwolves, what they're doing. Do you think one of these teams could dethrone Golden State and get to the finals in 2018?
Yeah, not as currently constructed. You know, even if the Rockets go out there and get mellow, you just really have to see how those pieces come together. With Golden State, here's the stark difference to me. It's like that's a team that is built from the inside, from the ground up, if you will. They drafted a lot of those guys. Some of those guys, you know, they've been playing together for a while, and now they've gone to 3 straight NBA finals. They're 2-1 in the finals as a result of that. But they play on both ends, right? Houston is a team that is now going to be trying to figure things out, whether or not, okay, can Carmelo come over there now and play defense and now be the third option, if that even comes into fruition? Where does that put them? Chris Paul, James Harden, both those guys need the basketball to be effective. So, again, I had no doubt that they'll make it work, but can they make it work enough to upset Golden State in their first year together? I don't see that happening. Then again, I don't want to say Minnesota is right up there in terms of being an elite contender in the Western Conference. I think they're a playoff team, but they're not going to come and take a leap all of a sudden like that and all of a sudden now and be able to up dethrone the Golden State Warriors. Like, nobody out West has done enough. Even San Antonio, the moves they've made have been really minor. And you heard them trying to maybe move LaMarcus Aldridge at the trade deadline, willing to take even just a top 10 pick for him. Like, hey, just say anything for this guy. That's not the sign of a team that is very confident in their ability to beat Golden State if you're trying to trade your second best, you know, air quotes, if you will, second best player on LaMarcus Aldridge. So for me, Golden State is clear cut above everybody in the West still.
So you agree with me here that the Warriors and Cavs will meet in the 2018 NBA Finals?
Yeah, I mean, again, barring injury, barring anything very unforeseen, or a Celtics trade getting Anthony Davis, somebody like that coming into the fold, you know, where they give up the farm in order to do so, then yeah, I think we're very much headed for that. And I know that's going to really hurt the league to some degree because, you know, trilogies are fine, but nobody wants to see the fourth installment of this coming up. You know what I mean? So we'll see, man.
Next year, I feel like next year is it. Like, after four, we're going to have all these great teams like the Lakers and who knows, maybe the Rockets will do great and continue to do great and whatever. Warren Smith, co-host of the Baseline on 16winsring.com, joining us. I want to talk about this Phil Jackson thing. He's gone now, and I'm going to be crazy for saying this, but I have a feeling the Knicks pick it up this year. What do you think about that? Do you feel like that Phil Jackson was the reason the Knicks were so bad over the past three seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I think he has a lot to do with it. you know, but also just the cloud that's kind of been over whatever's going on with Carmelo, and with that front office as well, too, kind of a mixed match of players. They've actually done all right in some degree in some of their talent evaluation, right? Like, you know, guys like Ron Baker and Hernan Gomez, like, those are nice little finds that, they, that they've had. Those guys came out to be nice players. Even Langston Galloway a couple of years ago, again, not guys that are going to tear up the NBA and tear up the world, but nice in their role. So they've done a decent job with that. And I feel like they have a true chip in Kristaps Porzingis. Losing Phil Jackson in this is really going to be, I think, addition by subtraction, you know, for the New York Knicks. That cloud just kind of be off the organization. Hornacek, who by and large is a good coach, will have a chance to kind of just do what he needs to do right now. Although they, you know, just hired the general manager from Sacramento Kings, Scott Perry. He's going to be over there. And a lot of people like what Sacramento has done this offseason as well, too. So he comes in there, brings in his talent evaluation and his ability maybe to try to make some moves and some trades. I do agree with you 100% that this should be a better season for New York. Not, again, not talking playoffs or anything like that, but definitely, but just something where you can say, all right, where we see things are starting to head in the right direction. Get Kristaps Porzingis back on your side if you're the general management as well, too, because Phil Jackson started to burn that bridge in effigy. And, you know, and that would have been a terrible thing if they moved to Porzingis at the trade deadline. I mean, sorry, at the draft. Luckily, they held on to him, and they have a building block that they can, you know, can really build around for the next couple seasons.
Now, Sandy, I believe his last name is Mui, M-U-I, I'm not sure how her last name was. Lead editor of 16 Wins a Ring. She's a huge Brooklyn Nets fan. She writes for the Brooklyn Game at Brooklyn.com. And I wanted to ask her this, but she couldn't make it tonight. Let's stay in New York. We'll go to the other side of town. We'll go to Brooklyn. The Nets have D'Angelo Russell, who I felt coming out of college, he was going to be amazing. He was going to be the great, this amazing dude. He was going to do awesome things. And then he did nothing well in Los Angeles. So now he's in Brooklyn. He's with Jeremy Lin. Do you feel the Nets can turn around this year?
No. I know. And I don't want to be doom and gloom, you know, to the New York faithful or whatever the case would be. I know Lin came out and said something preposterous, like, oh, we can be a playoff team this year, and I don't care what anybody says. And yeah, the Eastern Conference is weaker, but let's keep things in perspective. You know what I mean? So, you know, this is not a team that is built to win right now. And I like the fact that they've hustled, you know, and they've tried to go out there and screw up their competitors by offering these ridiculous contracts, these poison pill contracts, you know, and that's what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you want to be able to make sure that those other teams have their money tied up when you finally do get some draft picks and you really can finally be a true player in free agency. So good for them in that. I think, in essence, the same way, you know, under Marks, they're heading in the right direction, but they're not there yet, man. They're a long, long away. But I agree with you, man. I really want to see D'Angelo kind of rebound here, you know, after those couple seasons in LA.
Right.
He didn't really just live up to his expectations. A good friend of mine, you know, I'm sure you know him as well, Oliver Maroney, he was a big D'Angelo guy, you know, and had me even kind of thinking last year, like, oh, could he really bounce back and be, you know, kind of like a comeback player of the year type of thing off of that rookie year, and this year really almost be a guy could average a double-double, 17 and 10 or something in that case would be. Now, obviously, that was a little lofty, but I think in Brooklyn he has a chance to really grow into his own potential, playing even on and off the ball with Jeremy Lin, a guy who could probably end up being a 20-point-per-game guy this year. Don't know what he'll do assist-wise, but this is a great opportunity for D'Angelo to bounce back. Although, and again, he still has a lot of time to recover in his young career.
Sure. Yeah, I'm a big Lin fan myself. I'm still on the Lin sand, anything from like 2011, 2012. I'm still into that. I'm still want to see, him do good things.
That guy helped me win some fantasy leagues. I managed to scoop them up off the waiver wire, plugged them in. I didn't even know what I was doing, but I was happy to take those points when they were coming, man. Thank you, D'Antoni, right?
So before you came on, I had this crazy take that I think is actually very possible. I said Lonzo Ball, first game against Golden State, whether it's at the Staples Center, whether it's at the Oracle Arena, he's going to score at least 25 points. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very possible for Lonzo. You know, just as long as he keeps his nerves, you know, under wraps, if you will, and plays his game. He's got great size, you know. I mean, more than anything else, I love his size at that point guard position and his feel for the game. You know, I think there's been all kinds of comparisons of what he could be. Could it be Magic Johnson? Is he more like Jason Kidd? I think he's probably maybe in between of those two things. I think he's probably a little bit more advanced offensively than Kidd was, but Kidd, you know, Kidd's probably a little bit more physical. Well, not probably, was a lot more physical, you know, coming into the game, and probably a little bit better rebound than Lonzo Ball is. But Lonzo has the ability to be a really good basketball player and potentially at some point an all-star. Just again, I don't want to put all that on him in his rookie year, but I think that first game, especially if it's in Staples, he'll be looking to light up the world, man, and really set things on fire, especially if it's against a team like Golden State.
Oh yeah, Warren Shaw, co-host of the Baseline at 60windsofring.com. This was awesome. I want to thank you very much for joining us. NBA season is about 3 months away. We'll definitely have to have you back on before the season begins, during the season, during the postseason. We'll have you on multiple times. Thank you again, Mr. Shaw. You were awesome tonight.
I appreciate it as always, guys. Yeah, man, it's going to be the long winter right now for us. I'm a Game of Thrones fan, so it's going to be rough these next couple months. But I guess we'll go into hibernation, do our vacation, spend some time with our family before we gear back up.
Yes, sir. I will be on vacation this weekend. Looking forward to it. Thank
you. Wherever you go, man. Enjoy life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be right back, SCU Show.
Hello to all you Arena League football fans out there. I want to personally welcome you to join us, AFL Fan Zone, every Tuesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a weekly recap of all things AFL. You got stuff to do on the weekends, which means you probably don't have time to sit down and watch every single game every week. That's where AFL Fan Zone comes in. Not only do we break down the week, but we provide you with everything you need to stay up to date with the AFL, including players of the week, power rankings, and the weekly standings. Best part is, the recap is fully interactive between the viewers and the host. Just search AFL Fan Zone on YouTube and you can find all of our archived videos, including game previews, recaps, and weekly updates. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at our website at www.aflfanzone.com. AFL Fan Zone, your internet home for the best AFL fans.
Hi, I'm Donovan James, and welcome to the Don James High School Football Report, everybody, where we discuss and debate the hottest prep and college football recruiting topics in the country every week, only here on NGSC Sports, 9:30 Eastern. For more, follow me on Twitter at Don James Sports.
It's game time, boys, and we know football. Football the Max is the podcast for you if you want in-depth analysis over the NFL and college football. We preview all the action coming your way over the weekend. And we break down all the big action after it's happened. Plus, we tackle all the big news topics and discuss everything when it comes to the gridiron. So come check out Football to the Max every Tuesday morning and Friday morning on the W2M Network.
Are you an arena football fan looking for the latest news involving your team? Inside the Arena has you covered. Check us out for the latest news around both the Arena Football League and the Chinese Arena Football League. Read all of our stellar articles at InsideTheArena.org. Also, follow us on Twitter at @Inside_Arena and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/InsideTheArena.
Welcome back to the SCU Show. I'm your host, SCU. Warren Shaw just killed it. That was the best basketball talk I've had since the guy that got me started in this business, Darren Williamson. I tried reaching out to him earlier. I believe it was yesterday. I tried somebody that he knows or someone that knows him. I tried reaching out to them, and they told me he had switched schools, so it's going to be even harder to find him now. That's the guy that got me into the NBA about 18 months ago. Thank you, Darren. Thank you for getting me to this business. I'm going to see Darren once again one day. And I keep telling my best friend Haley Caffarello this. I will see my best friend Darren again one day, and we'll catch up, and I can't wait for it. But for now, we catch up on some college football to end the show and the month. And it's some, it's not crazy. I love the word crazy for different reasons. We won't go there. I'll go on a point of viewer featuring my co-host of this week in the AFL, Eric Watkins. Jimbo Fisher went to the media and said, the ACC is the best conference of the Power Five. Now, I'm not saying he's absolutely wrong. He's far from wrong. Well, he's wrong. He's far from absolutely wrong. Leave it at that. Well, let's start with the Pac-12. Pac-12 is most overrated. That's kaput, done deal. They are the most overrated conference in college football. The Washington Huskies won. I mean, they got to the playoff. I mean, that was just total BS. The fact that they got to the playoff, what a joke! I stick to that today. Three Big Ten teams should have been to the playoffs last year. having Washington in there. Ugh! That's like having the 76ers in the playoffs. Now, they make the playoffs in about 3 years, but they're not there yet. Having the playoffs next year is like having Washington in the college football playoffs. Disgusting. Stupid. Washington State's going to win the conference, and they're not even that good. Luke Falk is a great quarterback. That's the only thing they have on that team is Luke Falk. But nothing else. Luke Falk will win the conference with a Pac-12. SEC, we all know it's not the best conference. If it was the best conference, Bama would win it every year. It would be Bama, Florida, LSU every year. I mean, come on. I don't know about LSU yet. Now, I said it's always Bama, it's LSU, it's always Florida. I don't know about LSU just yet. Because Ed Orgeron is their head coach, and I loved him at USC. He did amazing USC. They were stupid for getting rid of him. And, yeah. We won't go into much into USC besides Sam Darnold. I don't buy him yet. You can check out my article for that on W2Net.com. I don't buy Sam Darnold, and I don't think I ever will. But again, check out the article, W2Net.com. Big 12, they have a clear-cut winner. Yeah, they have some few teams here and there. They're going to compete. Oklahoma State's winning this conference. There's no question about it. It's going to be Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is going to be Oklahoma in Bedlam to win the conference the third year in a row, Bedlam will decide the Big 12 title. And Oklahoma's won the last two. This year, it's OK State's to lose. Mason Rudolph and James Washington are arguably the best duo, quarterback wide receiver duo, in all of college football. Again, you saw them last year. You don't expect to fall at the rocker like that. Texas? Yeah, they don't have a quarterback like Greg Ward Jr. That's why Tom Herman was so successful at Houston, because Greg Ward Jr. did so well. And plus, Dante Foreman, their running back, is no longer with the team. He's in jail. Soon to join the Texans in training camp. And everybody else just plays just that much better than Kansas, the worst team in college football. Come on. It's Oklahoma State's to lose. It's Oklahoma State. There's nobody else that could compete with the two teams. Now we go to where Jimbo Fisher says ACC. We start with Miami. Miami has they're looking good. Mark Richt is their coach. He did very well at Georgia up until 2015 when they fired him. He's recruiting like crazy down at South Beach. How do I know this? Twitter. So that's gonna be a good Canes team. The Canes are going to do great things in 2017. Canes football, that is. They're going to do good things. They can win the ACC. At least the Palm Beach Post that wrote a story about how Miami and Florida State are actually the two teams favored to play against one another in Charlotte, North Carolina, about the first weekend of December for the ACC title. It's possible, I guess. I mean, if DeAndre Francis, if he does well enough, sure. Why not? They can find running back. Sure, why not? That defense is still good. The defense ain't going nowhere. Isn't going anywhere. Pardon my French. Clemson doesn't have an army of offensive weapons. Deshaun Watson's gone. Mike Washington's gone. Somebody's going to be a sophomore, I believe, taking over their team. When's the last time a sophomore did well? Johnny Manziel? Look at how he turned out. Sorry. So Clemson out. They're not going to be anywhere near the title contention next year. Now here's the coup de grace, ladies and gentlemen. And the coup de grace is that the Big Ten, as hard as it is to believe, because they have teams like Rutgers, like Purdue, like Northwestern, like Illinois. The Big Ten is the best conference in college football. There's no question about it. The Big Ten has the most competition. Ohio State, Urban Meyer, JT Barrett's back. Always got a star running back. Always got the star defender. Star defense. Keep it at that. Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, always recruits well. Penn State, they're just going to get better. They did so well last year. They're going to get even better now. They won the Big Ten last year. Didn't get in because of controversy with the number of Big Ten teams that can be in the playoff, which is still very annoying to many people, including myself. And Wisconsin-Nebraska, they're back up there too. I mean, they're climbing the ladder. Wisconsin kept Penn State very close last year's Big Ten title game. Yeah, they're I feel Ohio State, Michigan are playing the Big Ten title game this year, but it's going to be Penn State, Nebraska, and Wisconsin are not going away like that easy. They're not going away that easy, ladies and gentlemen. It's not. They're not. So you ask me, the Big Ten is the best conference of college football for 2017, and this you can't debate it. ACC second. Congratulations, ACC. You're a runner-up. You're gonna have the Hurricanes or the Seminoles in the playoff because you win the title. That's the only reason that the ACC is going to be in the title game. I mean, not the title game, the playoff. That's it. Piggyback off what I just said, the Big Ten could run the college football playoff next year if it was possible. Unfortunately, the NCAA will not let that happen because the NCAA, if you know what that means. And they're not. It's not going to happen. They're not going to let four Big Ten teams be in the college football playoff. And I don't blame them. We don't want to see another Alabama LSU title game. It's stupid. It's just absolutely dumb. And final story of the night, wrapping up here on the SCU show. Great show. Thank you, Warren Smith, for joining us. Johnny Manziel has talked to several. He says he talked to several NFL teams about returning. I don't know which teams they are. None of us know what teams they are. But I wrote an article for rscnreport.com, and there are a few teams in which Johnny Manziel should go ahead and be like, okay, you good fit, you're a good fit, you're a good fit, you're a good fit, you're a good fit. I'm going into my article now, and here they are. Number 5, the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, they got Dak Prescott. What are you talking about? What if Dak gets, knock on wood, y'all heard that. What if Dak Prescott gets injured? Week 3 preseason against Seattle. They don't play Seattle in the preseason. I'm just spitballing like I always do. Let's say Dak Prescott is injured. He's out for the year. Not going to win again. We can't let that happen for Cowboys fans. Can't let that happen. You think Kellen Moore is going to help them win? Come on. The guy threw 3 interceptions against the Jets. The Jets are the worst. They're the Browns. They are the new Browns. No. I love Kellen Moore coming out of Boise State. I love that the Cowboys got him. But he's obviously not NFL ready. Like a lot of quarterbacks aren't. And that's okay. Cowboys at 5. Number 4, Minnesota Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater's not coming back. I hate it. Just as much as Vikings fans do. It sucks. He's not coming back ever. It's over. Kaput. Goodbye. Done. And Sam Bradford is the most mediocre quarterback in the NFL right now. He's not going to win you he's not going to get to the playoffs. He's been in the league, what? Is this going to his 7th year now? No playoffs. Even with that super team he had last year with the Eagles, no playoffs, 6-10. I mean, you had Ryan Matthews, you had Darren Sproles, had this, that, and the other. DeMarco Murray, 6-10. It's on the quarterback if you don't succeed. Just saying. Vikings at 5. Actually, Vikings would be great for Johnny Manziel. Vikings at 4. 3, Denver. Let's go. They have 3 quarterbacks on their roster. None of them are ready to be the starter. It's crazy. Trevor Siemian, he did okay. He's not your star. He's not good enough to get you to the playoffs. Paxton Lynch, I hate it that he's not good. I am so disappointed in Paxton Lynch not being good enough. And that's not his fault. You can't blame him for it. He's just not good. Showed that training camp. Showed it. Elsewhere, what have you, he's not good enough. I hate it. It's just not good. And then there's Mr. Irrelevant, Chad Hill. I know I wrote an article about this, how Mr. Irrelevant can go to Mr. Relevant. It's not going to happen. The Broncos aren't even going to look in his direction when it comes to starting this year, unless Simeon gets hurt and Lynch just does so bad. Manziel would be great for Denver. He has Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders to back him up, Devontae Booker to back him up. Manziel to the Broncos at 3. Number 2. And I wanted to talk about this with Colin Kaepernick, but then Kaepernick decided, I'm going to choose politics over sports, which is I wouldn't do it. I'm choosing politics and sports. Another story for later in the year. I would not pick politics over sports, like my former CEO has done, so has former fan-sided CEO and founder, Adam Best. I wouldn't do it. But Colin Kaepernick's going that way. And I thought he would be good for Arizona. Yeah, the Arizona Cardinals, that too. Carson Palmer, this has to be his last year. I thought last year was his last year, and he won't give up. He's like a wrestler. He will not give up. He will keep playing until he wins. He's not going to win. His team will win. He won't. Menzel, you put Menzel in that situation. Larry Fitzgerald, Hall of Famer. John Brown, up-and-coming Hall of Famer. David Johnson, second-best running back in the league behind Ezekiel Elliott. And that good defense. The Cardinals, if they could beat out Seattle, which they beat Seattle. They've gotten the best of Seattle the past couple of years, including that tie last year, which is insane that they finished in a 6-6 tie. Arizona wins the West. They're in the playoffs with Johnny Manziel as a quarterback. Carson Palmer's not. I mean, they beat Aaron Rodgers. Congratulations. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Another show coming in August on that. Johnny Manziel to the Arizona Cardinals at 2. And the best team, people are going to laugh at this when they hear it. I'm sure Sean, if he's listening, unless he's still on his foreign cold that he told me during commercial. Yeah, the number one team that would be a great fit for Johnny Manziel are the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. Yeah, the Browns. Oh, but he did so bad with the Browns. The Browns didn't have a team back in 2014, 2015. Didn't have anything. Nothing. No? Look at that team. You got Corey Coleman. You got Myles Garrett. You got David Njoku from Miami, tight end in Miami. You got Jabril Peppers. Peppers is the best player in the draft. If you ask me, the Browns got a steal with Peppers. He can do it all, even play quarterback. Woo, I'm just saying. Johnny Manziel to the Cleveland Browns makes the most sense. I would love to see it. I would love it. It would be awesome to see. Is it going to happen? Eh, probably not. Because the Browns will sit there, flip back the calendar. Oh, here's the day we got rid of Manziel. Remember what he did. Remember why we got rid of him in the first place. It's all nonsense. Absolute nonsense. The whole thing is just nonsense. It's crazy. So that is going to do it here for the SCU show. What a show. I was on fire. I feel like I was on fire. If I was on fire, let me know at Ryan Fanatic 2 or let us know at W2N Network on Twitter. Warren Shaw, thank you very much for joining us again. Great stuff. Great basketball talk. When people agree with me, it makes me feel like I know what I'm talking about. And I've had that over the past few weeks. Paul Jakubowicz 2 weeks ago. Jakubowicz, pardon me. Warren Shaw this week. Loving it. I'm loving it. So I'm going to continue to do that in August. And we're just gonna have so much fun. It's gonna be a lot of fun here in the SCU show. A lot of professionalism, a lot of fun, a lot of business, a lot of fun. I know I repeat myself, but hey, it's gonna be fun. I know Sean is looking forward to it because this is going to bring huge numbers to W2M Network, and that's a big thing for us at W2Mnet.com. Numbers, huge. And this, the month of August of the SCU show, will bring huge numbers. Guarantee, book it. Let's go. So until next week, until August 1st, or whenever the podcast is released, I am SCU. This is the SCU show. I leave for my birthday trip, going to New Jersey Thursday. I'm leaving for Boston Friday morning, and you know it's about to go down. Until August 1st, or whenever you hear the next podcast, I'm your host, SCU. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the SCU show.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.